Today is Tuesday, November 4th, and you are listening to the World Socialist Website. Oxfam. 10 US billionaires have had their wealth increase sixfold since 2020. By Andre Damon. On Monday, the charity Oxfam published a report on the growth of social inequality in the United States, titled Unequal: The Rise of a New American Oligarchy. The report notes that the past year has been indelibly shaped by concentrated wealth and power. It cites data showing that in the past 12 months alone, the 10 richest US billionaires got approximately $700 billion richer. Over this period, their wealth grew by a staggering 40%, from $1.79 trillion to $2.5 trillion. The publication of the Oxfam report came just one day after the Trump administration slashed food stamps benefits for tens of millions of American households. This happened as US President Trump pressed ahead with building himself a massive ballroom in the White House, and his billionaire friends threw a Great Gatsby-themed party for themselves at his Mar-a-Lago resort over the weekend. The domination of the United States by a parasitic oligarchy, whose seat of power is in the White House, is on display for everyone to see. But the Oxfam report makes clear that, however violent the upward redistribution of wealth being carried out under Trump, it is the product of decades of austerity and pro-corporate policies carried out by both parties. As the report declares, the story does not begin in 2025. Returning to the richest men in America, the Oxfam report noted, since 2020, their inflation-adjusted wealth is up 526%. In other words, from March 2020 through to the present, the wealth of these 10 individuals collectively increased sixfold. A case in point is Elon Musk, whose wealth stood at $33 billion in March 2020, but has since surged to $469 billion, a 14-fold increase. Larry Ellison, number two on the list, saw his wealth increase from $54 billion in March 2020 to $323 billion, a sixfold increase. The wealth of Jeff Bezos, number three on the list, increased from $126 billion in March 2020 to $265 billion today. The increase in wealth is driven by a relentless speculative growth of share values on Wall Street. The Oxfam report noted that in 2025, the share of assets owned by the top 0.1% hit its highest on record since the Federal Reserve began publishing data in 1989, 12.6%, as did their share of the stock market, 24%. In 1989, the top 0.1% of households controlled 8.6% of wealth, compared to 13.9% today. By contrast, the share of wealth controlled by the bottom 50% of American society has fallen from 3.5% in 1989 to 2.5% today. In other words, the top 0.1% of US households, amounting to just over 100,000 people, control six times more wealth than the 64 million households at the very bottom of society. In fact, citing figures from Thomas Piketty and Emmanuel Saez, the Oxfam report notes that the richest 0.0001% control a greater share of wealth than in the Gilded Age, an era of US history defined by extreme inequality. The report added the richest 1% own half the stock market, 49.9%, while the bottom half of the US owns just 1.1% of the stock market. The report correctly warns that the Trump administration is carrying out policies that will massively expand social inequality. It warns that the Trump administration, largely with the support of Republicans in Congress, has moved with staggering speed and scale to carry out a relentless attack on working-class families and use the power of the office to enrich the wealthy and well-connected. Oxfam noted that the recently passed One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the OBBA, will reduce the tax bill of the highest earning 0.1% by an estimated $311,000 in 2027, while the lowest income households, those making less than $15,000 annually, are expected to face tax increases. But as the Oxfam report makes clear, the Trump administration marks an acceleration, at an unprecedented pace, of processes that had been ongoing for decades. Policymakers have been choosing inequality, and those choices have had bipartisan support, the study's author, Rebecca Riddle, told The Guardian. Policy reforms over the last 40 years, from cuts to taxes and the social safety net to labour issues and beyond, really had the backing of both parties. This assessment is true, but it is here that the report tangles itself up in knots. The study's author correctly points out that the surge in social inequality has occurred over decades under both political parties. But the report proceeds to make the following assertion. Quote, gains made during the Biden administration, such as reductions in poverty, improved wages for low-wage workers, and strong antitrust action that put money back in families' pockets, demonstrated the real potential for organising to secure policy change that improves people's lives. Unquote. This is completely contradicted by the report's own findings. Under the Biden administration, the share of wealth controlled by the financial oligarchy surged at a level only eclipsed by the Trump administration. The combined wealth of the 10 richest individuals in America doubled, from $976 billion in January 2021 to $1,991 billion in January 2025. During this time, Labor's share of national income plunged to an all-time low. Under Biden, the food insecurity rate for American children increased from 13% to 19%. By the last year of his administration, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development asserted in its annual report, the number of people experiencing homelessness on a single night in 2024 was the highest ever recorded. In other words, the Biden administration was a disaster for the working class and a bonanza for the financial oligarchy. The preface of the report is given by Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, who declares that an economy that works great for those at the very top and leaves everyone else hanging on by their fingernails happened through deliberate policy choices. Yet she does not explain how a vast share of the increase in social inequality documented in the Oxfam report took place under an administration she endorsed, and whose policies she repeatedly, and without exception, defended. Left unsaid in the main text of the Oxfam report is one word, capitalism. Its essential framework is to argue that the growth of social inequality is merely a policy choice, and that another choice could just as easily be adopted within the present social framework. In reality, however, the persistent growth of social inequality, under Democrats and Republicans alike, is a fundamental feature of the capitalist system. As Karl Marx explained 150 years ago, accumulation of wealth at one pole is, at the same time, accumulation of misery, agony of toil, slavery, ignorance, brutality, mental degradation at the opposite pole, i.e. on the side of the class that produces its own product in the form of capital. The Trump administration represents in its highest and most grotesque manifestation an extension of the essential characteristics of the capitalist system described by Karl Marx over 150 years ago. It is a government of, by, and for the capitalist oligarchy, governing directly on behalf of the billionaires and their corporations. This is the class content of the destruction of democratic rights. Trump's escalating conspiracy for dictatorship flows from the needs of a ruling class that can maintain its wealth and power only through violence, repression, and the destruction of democratic rights. The complicity and cowardice of the Democratic Party is explained by the fact that it represents another faction of the same capitalist oligarchy. But the social mood in the United States is changing. Last month, the Trump administration's attack on democratic rights and austerity policies led to protests by millions of people in the No Kings demonstrations, which were among the largest in American history. A recent Axios poll found that 67% of young people in the US now view the term socialism positively or neutrally, compared to just 40% for capitalism. There is mounting opposition among broad sections of the population, including workers and young people, to social inequality and the dictatorship of the financial oligarchy. The Socialist Equality Party insists that the obscene fortunes of the financial elite must be expropriated. The wealth of the oligarchs is inseparable from their control over the giant corporations, banks and investment funds that dominate every aspect of economic and political life. These institutions must be transformed into publicly owned utilities, democratically controlled by the working class, and reorganized to meet human needs, not private profit. Such a transformation cannot be achieved through appeals to either of the parties of Wall Street. It requires the building of a mass movement of the working class, organized in rank-and-file committees, united internationally through the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, the IWA RFC. The fight against inequality and dictatorship is, in its essence, a fight against capitalism. To end exploitation, poverty and war, the working class must take power and reconstruct economic life on socialist foundations. New report by The Lancet. More than 3 million Palestinian life years lost in Gaza genocide. By Kevin Reid. A report published in the British medical journal, The Lancet, over 3 million life years lost in Gaza, provides a scientific indictment of the ethnic cleansing operations of the Israeli military against Palestinians in the enclave territory since October 7, 2023. Based on the confirmed death toll from the Palestinian Health Ministry, as reported on July 31, 2025, The Lancet's researchers, Semi Zaran of Colorado State University and Ghassan Avusita of the American University of Beirut, calculated that the 60,199 Palestinians killed in this period lost on average 51 years each, amounting to over 3 million years of forfeited life. The overwhelming majority of these losses occurred among civilians, including an estimated 1 million life years lost among children under 15 years old. The figures presented in this study are staggering and testify to the barbarism pursued by the Israeli regime with the backing of the US and European imperialist powers. The analytical framework adopted by The Lancet makes clear that these calculations are rooted in the explicit, recorded fatalities linked directly to Israeli military actions, excluding thousands killed indirectly through the systematic destruction of essential infrastructure, food, water supplies, medical facilities, and personnel. The thesis of the Lancet report is unequivocal. Israeli military operations have generated direct, quantifiable social devastation that is not adequately portrayed by death toll numbers alone. By excluding indirect deaths resulting from the ruin of infrastructure and medical facilities, restriction of food and water, and the loss of medical personnel that support life, the true impact of the Israeli genocide is far greater than even the horrific numbers calculated in the study. Regarding the statistical method, the Lancet's team compiled a non-duplicate, demographically complete list of the 60,199 decedents that included their reported age and sex. Utilizing life tables for Gaza's pre-war population, the researchers estimated, for each death, the average number of remaining years he or she would have expected to live had their life not been cut short. For instance, a child killed at the age of 7 might have lost 70 years, whereas an elderly person killed would lose far fewer life years. The study explicitly notes that the average life years lost per death is 51, reflecting the youthfulness of Gaza's population. Over half of all those killed were women and children. Researchers point out that their findings only account for direct deaths and admit thousands killed by starvation, dehydration, communicable diseases, or the collapse of Gaza's medical system, a limitation forced by both the destruction of the territory's record-keeping and the impossibility of accounting for every casualty. The detailed breakdown of the report's findings by age and sex shows a disproportionate impact on Gaza's youngest. Over 1 million life years were lost among children under 15 years old, with the majority of killed persons belonging to categories that would never be classified as combatants by international law: women, the elderly, infants, and young boys and girls. Even when adopting the broad standard for combatant that encompasses all men and boys aged 15 to 44, civilians are the overwhelming majority of the dead, and in terms of the years of life lost. This substantiates claims that attacks were indiscriminate and systematically targeted Gaza's civilian population centres, neighbourhoods, shelters, hospitals, and schools. These figures prove that the Israeli military operations in Gaza are a genocide, which is defined as the deliberate destruction, in whole or in part, of a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. Acts of mass murder, causing serious bodily or mental harm, imposing living conditions meant to destroy the Palestinian people, including forcibly transferring children from their families and preventing births, are all hallmarks of genocide. The loss in life years in Gaza has little precedent in contemporary war studies, but the Lancet authors draw direct comparisons to similar research on other global conflicts. For instance, when calculated as life expectancy loss, Gaza's decline now surpasses that of Chad and Lesotho, which previously ranked as the lowest in the world. In Chad and Lesotho, average life expectancy is 53 years. But for Gaza, following the documented genocide, the population's life expectancy has fallen far below that. The last comparable collapse in a nation's life expectancy occurred in the earlier 20th century United States, during the Spanish flu pandemic at the end of World War I, in which the highest death rate was among young adults. The Lancet's approach, focusing on potential years lost rather than death counts, highlights the disproportionately intense impact of violence on younger generations. Compared with other wars, such as in Syria or Yemen, previous studies found life expectancy declines of up to a decade or slightly more, but never a halving of population life prospects as in Gaza. The implications of these findings have been widely discussed among human rights organisations, media outlets, and spokespersons. A representative of The Lancet said, "This quantification of life years lost elevates the conversation beyond death tolls. It is an indictment of the deliberate targeting of a population's entire future." Human rights groups, such as CARE, have said that the study demonstrates the genocidal intent of the Zionist regime and its enablers in the United States and Europe, as well as the international complicity in continuing attacks, which have been carried out during the present ceasefire and resulting in a reported average of 10 Palestinians killed per day. Some commentaries point out that these statistics confirm that the mass killing is not incidental or collateral, but systematic, coordinated, and intended to erase an entire people's future. The Lancet's analysis has shifted the review of the events in Gaza from casualty figures to the empirical annihilation of decades of human potential. The Lancet is among the world's most respected medical journals, dating back to its founding in 1823. Traditionally, its editorial and investigative focus has been on vital global health issues, epidemics, health policy, war-related health casualties, and the intersection of violence and public health. In recent decades, Lancet has become a venue for major studies on health crises in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and other conflict zones, specializing in quantitative synthesis of mortality and morbidity under conditions of war and deprivation. The journal is recognized not only for its scientific rigor, but also for its willingness to publish research that has significance for international law and for its challenge to the official narrative of governments. Previously, The Lancet has published findings arguing that the official death toll in Gaza is likely underreported by at least 40%. This undercount is driven by the systematic destruction of Gaza's hospitals and clinics, institutions responsible both for treating the wounded and for recording and certifying deaths. In early 2025, a Lancet study estimated that over 10,000 individuals were missing or still buried beneath collapsed buildings, and the real tally of Palestinian dead may approach or exceed 100,000. Additionally, previous studies have highlighted the catastrophic drop in life expectancy, calculated at nearly 35 years in the first 12 months of the conflict, effectively halving the pre-war figure of about 75 years for Gazans. A population that, prior to the genocide, was approaching living standards similar to neighbouring Middle Eastern societies, now faces prospects lower than any country globally. The methodology of The Lancet builds upon these earlier analyses, utilising cross-referenced data from the Gaza Health Ministry and United Nations refugee records to correct for possible double counting and demographic mismatches. By doing so, the study achieves a conservative yet comprehensive portrait of the direct death toll, establishing the authority of the report in the face of attempts by Israel to minimise the scale and impact of Palestinian deaths. The Lancet's report represents a significant breakthrough in documenting the true cost of Israel's genocidal war, which cannot be reduced to casualty figures or easily explained away by the fog of war, by calculating lost futures and decades not lived. The report is incontrovertible evidence of a war crime on the scale of that which was carried out by the Nazis in World War II. The information contained in this analysis will no doubt play a role in the future prosecution of the criminals responsible for the genocide, such as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, former Israeli Defence Minister Yoav Gallant, Chief of the General Staff of the Israel Defence Forces Eyal Zamir, as well as former US President Biden, current President Trump, and their cabinet and military intelligence officials. The case laid out by The Lancet demonstrates that, while masses of people around the globe participated in protests and demanded an end to the genocide in Gaza over the past 2 years, these leaders proceeded with mass death and the destruction of a defenseless civilian population. For these articles and more today, visit the World Socialist website, wsws.org. This has been John Davis.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.